Of course, yeah. I have to blame Sonny Belwani and Elizabeth Holmes. I mean, they're the primary two. I mean, they're the co-conspirators who created this mess.
You can't do it alone. She was and is a singular figure, and she does bear responsibility. I mean, even as young as she was, she bears responsibility for what happened under her watch. Oh, look, so many other people went along with her. You know, so many other people wanted it to happen. You know, she will say in her defense, you know, it wasn't me alone. And that's true. It's true of every entrepreneur. It's never them alone.
Where do you put Sonny Belwani in all of this?
I think he's really critical. He's the, in some ways, the bad cop to her good cop. And we often, in the case of tech companies, there's, you know, many instances of the man behind the curtain or the more silent partner. And you saw that at Apple with Steve and Steve. You see this at Microsoft with Paul Allen, you know, writing BASIC, and Bill Gates.
Anyway, I'm not sure the investors were wrong, because I'm not sure they ever fulfilled their own obligations and responsibilities.
Venture capital, kind of the rule of thumb of VC, is that out of 10 investments, you'll have 3 that fail, you'll have 3 that kind of go, you know, fine, and you'll have 1 or 2 that actually make you money, and sometimes make you a lot of money. And what makes the risk worth it is when you hit big.
The investment money was good eventually, because it gives runway for scientists. So she did a good job at getting some runway later. But the first round of the technology obviously was a massive failure and was terrible for patients. But she did a good job at setting a vision for scientists to work towards, to allow, like, a lot of companies don't have that much funding.
In private company investing, the prospective investor has to fill out a very detailed form that says, I understand the risks. I understand that, you know, I may not get any return on this. I understand, furthermore, this will not affect my net worth.
They're accredited.
They're accredited. Sophisticated, actually, I think is the term. But And nobody did. I mean, they all filled out the form, but nobody did the work. I didn't see them storming the gates and going after the board saying, hey, guys, you know, you got to make... In fact, the board was telling Elizabeth, you don't have to do that, which I think she got bad advice.
In announcing its settlement with Holmes, the SEC posed Theranos as a lesson for entrepreneurs, warning that innovators who seek to revolutionize and disrupt an industry must tell investors the truth about what their technology can do today, not just what they hope it might do someday.
I believe that the SEC did not have jurisdiction. I think the SEC has got a great role to play in public markets and all kinds of other things like that. But I'd hate to see them get deep into the venture community and the startup world. It's a fine line between that and, you know, the mom and pop business, believe it or not.
There are some people who say that Elizabeth Holmes is being held to a public company standard. Do you think that that's a valid argument?
I think there's some merit in that. One of the things, particularly the last decade of Silicon Valley, kind of the decade since the Great Recession, that has been different has been the private markets have dominated more than the public markets. Companies would go public. They'd have to go public. I mean, Intel went public when it was 3 years old. Netscape went public when it was less than 2. The way you raise capital was on the public markets. And with that came accountability. And now in the last decade, you have, it's harder to go public, right? New regulations post-recession. It's a heavier lift. And there's been all of this private capital just sloshing through the global markets looking for a home. And then you have this kind of flywheel of storytelling and buzz about, oh, this is the next big thing. And everyone's like, I want to get in on that. Then you're allowed in kind of relative, you're protected from the scrutiny of public markets. Does that mean that you can get away with fraud? No. Investors are right to be, you know, calling her to account.
Warmenhoven said early investors had every opportunity to do just that.
They did nothing in terms of trying to ascertain the current status of the product or the risks to completion or anything else.
Whose fault is that?
I think it's the investor's fault. Yeah, you invest in something. You want to know how your investment is doing. And I think it's also a symptom of the founder culture that has really, you know, really took hold of the Valley exactly during the time that Theranos was growing.
The first meeting I was in was with all the major investors. And they hadn't had any meetings with the company since the round had closed. And, you know, maybe an occasional phone call or something, but nothing as a group, nothing where they got a status report, which I found staggering.
And weren't demanding it?
They didn't seem to press hard before the investment, and they still didn't seem to press hard after the investment. From my viewpoint, it was really out of character for a startup investor not to be all over it, you know. If you were a venture capitalist and you put in $100 million, you would be there every week. How are we doing? Are we on track, you know?
So those documents do not exist.
Not in the hands of the investors. I mean, they were available internally.
Internal documents may have exposed the chasm between Theranos' aspiration and ability, though Holmes told the SEC its investor pitch left room for improvement.
We didn't intend these documents to be standalone, and you know, sitting here now, I know we could have been much better at the way we prepared materials.
And did you talk about specifically the technology and blood draw and what was in place at that time versus what was aspirational? Was there a clear delineation between those two?
We tried to do that.
When we look at Theranos investors, many of them, not necessarily your clients, but certainly perhaps a VC fund, we would expect to be seasoned investors who can properly vet a company, a startup like Theranos.
In this case, probably what you would consider a seasoned investor like Tim Draper, perhaps Larry Ellison and Oracle, they invested early when it was just a concept. And a lot of VCs will invest even when it's not proven. Theranos got well beyond that and then started raising funds, massive amount of funds, over $700 million, from other investors.
The amounts of money that a certain class of what I call mega VCs with untold, unprecedented amounts of capital available to invest, starting with a Japanese company, SoftBank, and some of the sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East who are looking for what to do after the oil begins to peter out, are able to and are bringing amounts of money that have just never been seen before. There's no independent validation. That's what concerns me now when we look at some of these, you know, mega-funded companies like WeWork and Uber, that it hasn't been vetted as much as you would normally hope and expect from at least an independent venture capital set of players. And that adds to the board and the CEO, and here we are.
And they go dig in inside the company and get the facts. Start with Channing Robertson. Start with the head of engineering, you know, and start asking questions.
Hi, everybody. Alexis Keenan here. Yahoo Finance wants to extend a huge thank you for watching our YouTube channel and to tell you that there's a lot more here that you can check out, including Yahoo Finance's very first documentary film, Valley of Hype. It's a deep dive into Silicon Valley's startup culture and the embattled biotech founder, Elizabeth Holmes. You can watch that right here starting August 30th. And don't forget to hit your subscribe button.